The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Dominic Fishbank, As Real As It Gets. The actress doesn't believe in boxes. She would rather create outside of them. Dominic Fishbank is all about living her truth, hauling from one of the Big Apple's most heralded boroughs. She takes a pride in her hometown that's apparent whenever she speaks about it. No, I'm from Brooklyn, she responds whenever someone asks if she's from New York. As an actor, she credits the community she calls home with giving her the tools to persevere in a notoriously unforgiving industry. I think Brooklyn just made me more confident to speak my truth, no matter what it is, she says. Fishbank's road to success was an often winding trail as opposed to a straight path. Her love of stagecraft began after attending an elementary school youth performance that created a passion inside her that would forever define her trajectory. But her desire to act would be tested on various occasions, so many times, in fact, that a person of lesser resolve would surely have been discouraged from pursuing acting as a career. In second grade, I saw this theater company called Ta-da, which was kids performing musical theater, she recalls. When I saw them, I was like, I have to do that. I went home and I told my mom, and then I auditioned for the company 3 times from the age of 8 to 10, and I never got in. Later, the aspiring actor applied to the LaGuardia High School of Music and Art and Performing Arts, on which the movie and TV series Fame was based, and again, rejection reared its head. This moment, along with a major shift in her family's dynamic when she was 15, led Fishbank to a transformative decision. My mom told me she was having a baby, and somehow I knew that if my mom didn't know how to help me get into acting before this, she definitely wasn't going to be able to get me into it after the baby came. She says, I realized I was going to have to do it myself. So I Googled free acting programs for kids in New York City, and I found this company that changed my life. Since then, Fishbank, now 32, hasn't looked back. After graduating from Pace University in 2013 with a theater degree, she made her official acting debut in The Nick, followed by roles in Blue Bloods, Royal Pain, Show Me a Hero, and The Last Days of Grey, among others. In 2017, she was cast as a series regular in HBO's The Deuce, and in 2021, she earned a BAFTA nomination for her portrayal of Deborah Johnson in Judas and the Black Messiah. For the budding star, it would mark just the beginning of an exciting rise to prominence. If you have seen Fishbank on television or in film, then you've felt the intensity of emotion Her performances exude. Her powerful presence is the result of a determination to live with purpose and intention day by day. Her spirit is humble, but she's not surprised by her achievements thus far. The Project Power Star literally asked for this, putting pen to paper and making her vision plan. There's something about having proof that you spoke your life into existence or you manifested your dreams, she says, of her long-standing practice of journaling. It's one thing to tell people, oh yeah, I thought about this. I talked about this when I was a kid. But it's another thing to have the evidence in written form that you did speak into being the specific thing that you are now experiencing. It just contributes to the power of the mind, the power of the written word, and it's also a tool to reflect and say, see, where I've grown and how I've grown. Journaling also supports Fishback's acting. She says it's helped her to find the connection between herself and the characters she portrays. She reflects that for the most part, it hasn't been difficult for her to identify points of connection between reality and script, with one exception, when she was preparing for what many consider to be her most complex role to date, that of Andrea Dre Green in the satirical horror film Swarm. I approached all my characters similarly. I tried to find the through line of what I have in common with them, she explains. But Dre is harder because we morally don't agree. So I had to discover another connection, which is love. I know what it's like to love my sister. I know what it's like to love an artist, not in the way that she does, but love is still love. Leaning in closer, she continues, if I can grab onto that, that means that the audience can grab onto that. I also had to journal as myself to remove any blocks or fears that I had about playing this character because I didn't want the camera to pick up a war between Dominique and Dre. Every time I take a role, she finishes, I always pray that I can be a vessel, a clear vessel for the energy and truth of that character to come through. There's an urgency in her tone that clearly communicates the deep sense of gratitude she feels about being able to express herself in this way and for the heights she has reached in her life's work. As an actress, the Aries has already conquered a broad range of genres on screen. Next up, she stars in the summer blockbuster Transformers: Rise of the Beast while working on her one-woman show, Subverted, a story she says is about the destruction of Black identity. And she's also exploring other artistic outlets, including songwriting. I've always wanted to do music, she says with a beaming smile. That was actually my first dream. I have a piano, I have a guitar, and I've been learning and experimenting and just trying to find what I want to say musically and what my voice is. So I am always just looking to expand artistically. In truth, her artistic drive knows no bounds. She speaks about crafting a documentary one day, curating an exhibit of her own paintings, directing her own films, and so much more. Given her talents and that Brooklyn confidence and resilience, her opportunities are endless. When asked what she wants her legacy to be, she responds, "Shoot, I think I want to be known as one of the most versatile actors ever and one of the most creatively expansive artists we have ever seen." For Fishback, that goal is astonishingly attainable. With each role, the multi-talented actor continues to grow her legacy, and she knows how large it becomes is entirely up to her. When all is said and done, she's fully aware that limits are only as real as we make them. But unlike limitations, Dominique Fishback is as real as they come. The next article is titled, "The Need to Feed." We gathered a group of lactation experts who emphasize that there's more than one way to have a successful breastfeeding journey. Black women breastfeeding their babies shouldn't be a radical idea. But in America, where, according to a 2015 study from Breastfeeding Medicine, a systemic lack of health care access has left us with the lowest rates of breastfeeding initiation and continuation, it seems to be. That's why Black Breastfeeding Week, August 25th through the 31st, and August being declared National Breastfeeding Month are both so significant. Each event is a call for support, education, and action in our community and our country. They are also great chances for Black women wanting to breastfeed to find the information they need about nursing. To do our part, we asked a few knowledgeable folks to share their advice on all things breastfeeding, from the benefits of engaging a lactation consultant to tips on what might actually help increase milk supply. Breastfeeding is not just the mother's job. Many birthing women believe they are solely responsible for breastfeeding, which means if the experience doesn't meet their expectations, it must be their problem to solve. Before we give Black moms advice, it's important to establish that the weight of nursing shouldn't fall solely on their shoulders. Your focus is on your baby. It's on you, and there's so much stress, says Kedada Green, executive director of the Black Mothers Breastfeeding Association and co-founder of Black Breastfeeding Week. Why are we making mamas look so hard to get support? She points to the need for clinical community integration that includes help for Black women from Black women, beginning in the early stages of pregnancy. If you are birthing in the hospital, you are going to your prenatal visits, she says. There are opportunities in those visits to pass along resources, and I don't mean just passing out a piece of paper or information, but warm handoffs. The system has to work for Black women, and there has to be a continuum of care. As Green and her peers push for structural change, she encourages Black families to view breastfeeding as a communal activity in which everyone plays a role. The work is centered in a love for Black people and trying to reclaim so many traditions that were struck from us, she notes. Things like the family structure and how Black folks commune, which is often around food. Breastfeeding is not that different from the way that we commune together. The benefit of community. When Demetria Martin held her son in 2018 for the first time, she was one of the first in her friend group to become a mom. I was like, I am breastfeeding. We are making this happen, she says. I had to figure out a lot of things on my own. While she received some support from hospital aides, none of them looked like her. She watched YouTube videos, joined Facebook mom groups, and asked mothers she knew at work about their journey. Then, during the pandemic, when more of her friends started having kids and were feeling isolated, she became a certified lactation counselor and founded the lactation practice, The Milk Buds. What's critical, in addition to knowing who's in your life, is knowing what professionals to get support from, she says, because not everything your friends, moms, aunts, or anyone else tells you is going to be advice that's actually helpful. Ashley Wright, a single mom, agrees. When she had her first child in 2013, she says the Black breastfeeding movement, as we know it, did not exist. It was not even a hashtag. I remember thinking, I just want to educate my family about it. That became a viral breastfeeding photo shoot, which then made her the face of the online community known as Miss Wright's Way. Breastfeeding is going to look different for everyone, she says, but I'm a very big advocate of prenatal breastfeeding classes. When you have the information, you are empowered. However, you choose to build your support community, find one early, whether it's in the form of a doula, a lactation counselor, or a local La Leche League group. There are benefits to seeing others breastfeeding, Martin says. People who have seen others who they can mirror are more successful, and they are also more likely to have a longer breastfeeding journey. Pumping is breastfeeding. When we picture breastfeeding, we imagine a nurturing mother with her baby serenely suckling at her chest. Diana Dixon, DPA and certified lactation counselor, wants that image expanded to include pumping too. Everyone wants to nurse their babies, she says. When you first give birth, that's what we are set to do. In her case, however, after an emergency C-section, Dixon was separated from her son, issued a hospital-grade breast pump. She was left to figure the rest out on her own. Her milk took 5 days to come in. Later, she discovered that her son was tongue-tied and lip-tied, conditions that make nursing more difficult. The situation inspired Dixon to found her global lactation private practice, Pump with Purpose. Everyone thinks breastfeeding, either by nursing or pumping, comes naturally, and it doesn't, she says. Pumping is a way to help protect supply. Either someone is trying to get the baby back to the breast, or someone has decided nursing is not for them. Or maybe they chose it because there's a new era of women choosing to pump. One reason for this is that in the U.S., paid maternity leave isn't guaranteed, which makes pumping an attractive option for those who want to provide breast milk without having a baby latch as they return to work. Beyond that instance, though, Dixon is pro-pumping, having fed her newborn and toddler with pump breast milk for 3 years. To make pumping viable, sustainable, and long-term breastfeeding solution, it can be, you first need to make sure your pump works for you. You need to pick a pump that's gentle yet effective and one that is customizable because you need to have the right flange size, she explains. It needs to fit your body. Even more than being an advocate for pumping, Dixon says she's an advocate for families. We need to meet families where they are and not try to put a label of if you're not doing this, it's not good, or if you are doing this, it is good, she says. Managing guilt if you have to supplement. Courtney Danielle Bryant always knew she wanted to be a mom, and she always knew she wanted to breastfeed. I can remember looking at photos of my mom breastfeeding me and my brother, she says. I just thought that was the default. It wasn't until her daughter, born in 2021 with a tongue tie, started losing weight that she realized it wouldn't be that easy. I cried because I felt like a failure, she recalls. At the time, I didn't know she had a tongue tie. I thought it was me. But because she had the tongue tie, she wasn't drawing out the milk. She began feeding her daughter breast milk with a spoon and a dropper, but still the baby was losing weight. So the doctor suggested supplementing. The first formula she tried, her daughter threw up. Dissatisfied, Bryant and her husband considered surgery. We really had to sit back and decide, okay, how important is getting this tongue tie revised? And are we doing it because I want to breastfeed? She remembers, because we know that she just needs to be fed. She doesn't need to be fed at the breast. I can still pump and bottle feed her. That's still breastfeeding. Tongue ties in which a small band of tissue under the baby's tongue restricts its movement often improve as a child gets older. Surgery can also be an option. Ultimately, Bryant and her husband decided on the quick procedure to reverse their daughter's condition, allowing her to breastfeed without the introduction of formula. But not every family is as lucky. Even though breast milk is tailored to your baby's nutritional needs, it can sometimes be difficult to produce, more so for Black mothers who lack lactation support. If you need to supplement or your breastfeeding journey just isn't going as planned, that is okay. There isn't one size that fits all, especially in regard to milk production, says Ife Nwa Asiodo, PhD, RN, IBCLC. We need to have grace for the fact that each lactation journey is a unique experience. The next article is titled, Pump It Up. Ife Nwa Asiodo, Associate Professor in the Department of Family Health Care Nursing at the University of California, San Francisco School of Nursing, shares ways for mothers to increase their breast milk supply. First, understand your body. The alveoli cells and clusters in the breast are where the milk is being produced, says the doctor, noting that it goes through the milk ducts and is expressed through the nipple. The nipple is the actual delivery mechanism, so the baby doesn't need to be latched directly onto it. You want the baby to have as much of the surrounding breast tissue in their mouth as possible for each deep latch. Eat well and often. When you are providing milk for your infant, whether you're breastfeeding, chest feeding, or pumping, you're burning extra calories. the doctor says. So making sure that you're eating nutritiously and taking in more calories than you were before is really important. Avoid comparisons. Many new mothers look to social media to gauge their breastfeeding success, which can cause feelings of inadequacy and stress, which in turn can affect milk production. We've been conditioned to think, if I'm not able to produce a bottle's worth of milk, I'm not really producing anything, says the doctor. Your baby will let you know through wet diapers, dirty diapers, and being satisfied whether what you're producing is enough. The next article is titled Out and About. Essence partnered with Smart Water to bring radical self-care to Atlanta, creating a safe space and community for Black women to listen, support, and advocate for one another, making it a priority to normalize wellness and encourage Black women to love thyself first. First, the Brat and Judy Harris Dupart joined Essence editor and VP of content Danielle Cadet for a fun conversation around love, marriage, and parenting. Then on the main stage, host Stacey J. Johnson warmed up the crowd. Guests also participated in a high-impact kickboxing class facilitated by Roundhouse Kickboxing. Also, Ty Buchamp teaches attendees the power of morning mindset, sponsored by Smart Water. Later throughout the day, a class called It's Pilates for Me, It Changed My Life, Lori Harvey and instructors from Daily Pilates Buckhead guided guests through a core strengthening workout. Around the corner, local Atlanta Black-owned businesses, including the Oil Bar, Be Rooted Mantra Mugs, the Glamatory Just J-Wear, and Canvey blessed attendees with their highly revered products. Attendees enjoyed Smart Water Alkaline Hydration Bar. Essence Wellness House offered intensive workshops focusing on a variety of topics: financial literacy, setting boundaries, alternative therapies, cannabis and microdosing, and sexual wellness with Paige Shari Addison, Shadeen Francis, Livon Briggs, and Bo Dixon. The next article is titled Travel Like an Influencer. Globetrotting gurus reveal their favorite destinations around the world. Kelly Edwards, Nathan Fluellen, and Jessica Nabongo are adventurers in every sense of the word. They embody a spirit of freedom, courageously living by a compass. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.